Good morning.
Morning.
Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2, and I want to look at verses 12 and 13 with you this morning. Paul writes in verse 12, saying that we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It pleased our Lord, who accomplished our full free redemption by the death and sacrifice of the Son to the Father for the sins of the people. It pleased him to make this glorious salvation known to us. It pleases the Father to make what he has done known to his people. When we look a little earlier in the chapter, we see that man doesn't know this, doesn't have this knowledge of God naturally. It's not in him to know these things of God according to nature. Look at verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. What the Lord is showing us in his word is that this doctrine of Christ, this knowledge of what our God is doing in redeeming his people by his Son, is a mystery to the natural man, to the carnal man, to what we are by nature. It's a mystery. We don't know these things. But his Spirit that he gives to whom he will makes these things known to us. The Spirit makes what God has done for his people in Christ known to the people, whereby we rejoice in him and give glory to our God. And the Spirit reveals this mystery of the gospel in the new man. That new man, that new creature, which is created by God, which is created by the Spirit and formed in us, which is created after Christ, after the seed of Christ. And that's where we hear all things by the Spirit of God. That's where the Spirit of God teaches us and reveals Christ to us. Our Lord tells us in John 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, that's the Spirit of God he's referring to, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And so the Spirit of God is given to us to testify of the Son, who he is, who we are, and our need of him, that we might know him, not know just about him, not know religious things, but that we would know him because he himself is the very salvation that God has provided for his people. And because the Spirit testifies of Jesus Christ to us, the Lord is saying to us that everything we need to know God, to worship God in spirit and in truth, to stand before the Father, everything we need is provided for us in the Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've titled this message, The Spirit Given. The Spirit Given. Let's begin looking at verse 12 here, the first part. Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. We have not received of God the spirit of the world. You see, there's an important truth at the heart of the hope that we as redeemed sinners have. There's sin at the heart of who we are. This is the problem. We're sinners. We've fallen from grace. We have no fellowship with God by nature. We're lost. We're in darkness, we're in ignorance to the things of God. And the Lord is showing his people that we fell in Adam out of fellowship with God. We don't know who God is. We don't know how to approach him or how to worship him. We see what man does over the course of the years. He's cutting down trees and making stumps and calling them God, or setting up rocks and bowing down before these things, natural things, or carving things out to look like the beasts of the field or things of the air or in the sea. And this is what man naturally thinks of God, and tries to come to God in these false, vain, idolatrous ways. And so the Lord makes his people to know we're sinners. We've fallen in Adam. And he does this so that we would not trust ourselves, that we would not have confidence in ourselves and in our works and the thoughts that we have about God. But he does this that we would look to Jesus Christ only, that we would be shut up to the Lord Jesus Christ alone and be turned away from these false ways. And so he reveals to us what we are in Adam, that when Adam rebelled against God, he died spiritually. He lost that fellowship with the Father. And being cut off from God, we too are cut off from God because we were in him. All his seed was in him. He had no children, no offspring yet with Eve when he sinned against God. So all his offspring remained in him, and that means all his seed in him corrupted. It was defiled. And so we that are born of Adam come forth defiled and corrupted and have no life, no spiritual life in us. And so the scriptures, which cannot lie, they provide a sufficient summary of man to us. In Romans 3, verse 10, I could read more, but this verse alone says it all. There, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. None of us is righteous. None of us knows God. None of us is pleasing to him by our works or our will or our lineage. We don't please God. Even those who have the law of Moses and look to that law, that religious law, that righteous law, that law that declares who God is and that he's holy, perfect, righteous in all his ways, even by that law, we aren't able to please God and come to him because this flesh is weak. We're sinners. We have no spiritual life in us. We have no ability to keep that law of Moses. And the Lord showing us it's because we're polluted and defiled within. Even if we could appear to keep it on the outward, on the outside, our hearts are defiled. Our hearts are corrupt. There's evil and wicked thoughts that arise out of this heart that makes me impure and unclean and unjust before a holy and righteous God. And so all men come forth, being born naturally, dead in trespasses and sins. Before they do anything, they're already dead in trespasses and sins. If we're to know God, it's because God is gracious to us. It's because God purposes and will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. And he's merciful to whom he will be merciful. And so the Lord, he gave this law to testify to us that we are dead in trespasses and sins. He gave the law to show us that we cannot come to God by the strength of our own flesh and by our own knowledge and by our own ways. The law, we're told, is to shut our mouth, to close our mouth, to stop our boasting. He says in Romans 3:19, the law was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You may have heard this, I've heard this, where men say if man couldn't keep the law, then God wouldn't have given the law. Have you ever heard that before? That God gave the law because you can keep it. That's a lie. That's not true. He gave the law according to his own word to shut our mouths, to show us that we are guilty, so that we have no other hope of salvation than the one that he's provided for his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. He's given the law to show us, to make us to know we're guilty sinners. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, be gracious and merciful to me, a sinner. And so we don't need to receive the spirit of this world, the spirit of the world, because that's the spirit that man has naturally. That's what he comes forth with by nature, being born of Adam's corrupt seed. The spirit of the world is what sets the course of this world. The course that this world is going in, that we see, which is fallen and corrupt and horrible in its ways, committing horrible crimes against one another. That's the spirit of this world. That's the course of this world. People destroying other people to get ahead and to promote themselves and to do what they will do to satisfy the lusts of their own flesh. That's the course of this world. It's the spirit of the prince of the power of the air, which even now is working in the children of disobedience. It's setting, that spirit is setting the fashion of this world, which passeth away. The fashion of this world is passing away. That the way this world functions and works, that's not how it's going to function and work in the new heavens and the new earth. All this will be destroyed. This fashion, this way of things, this course of the world is all passing away. It's being put away. And the Lord has a people whom he loves and is preparing a new heavens and a new earth for them. So this is not the spirit that believers are given. We had that spirit. And by that spirit, we didn't know God. We didn't worship God. We didn't please him. We had no light and no truth. We were ignorant of his word. We were ignorant of its meaning. We were ignorant of the things of God or how to please him. But Christ, he destroyed that union. He severed that union by the death of himself, putting to death this body of sin, putting to death that dominion, that rule and reign which sin and death had over us. He's destroyed that so that the law now has nothing to say to us. We're not guilty before the law. We're righteous. We're perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. And in him we've fulfilled all righteousness. And God is satisfied and pleased with his people in his Son. That's why he provided him. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18 and 19, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." Some of us are wise in the things of this world. Some of us are entrepreneurs and do very well in business. Some of us did very well in that which we were called to do in this life. And among the people, we did well. But Paul's saying that's not going to gain you any favor with the Lord. You might be the most expert in your profession or what you do or in your neighborhood, but that gives us nothing with the Father. That's not how we come to a knowledge of God. It's not by our knowledge and religious knowledge and our study and the things that we do or don't do. It's by his grace. By his grace and his mercy. And he says in verse 19 there, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness." And so the Lord's people, upon whom he is gracious, they're turned from that spirit of this world. We're delivered from that spirit and removed from that darkness and brought into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Paul tells us what God has given us. Verse 12 again, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. "Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but we've received the spirit which is of God." We've received his spirit. That's not natural to this flesh. That's not part of who we are. We have no spirit of God until the Lord God gives the gift of his Holy Spirit. And so what the Lord is showing us is that if we don't have his Spirit, we have no life in us. If we have not the Holy Spirit of God, we have no part in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ, when he rose again and ascended to the Father, he sent the promise of the Father. He sent the Comforter. He sent the Spirit of God to give us life, to regenerate us, to make us alive unto our God and the things of our God. In John 3, turn over there, in John 3, verse 6, we'll look at a few verses there. In John 3, verses 6 through 8, our Lord declares to us, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't be amazed at this that I said unto you, ye must be born again. If we're to be born again unto the things of God, it's by the Spirit's work. It's a spiritual work, and he must give us life and birth, regeneration in Christ. And so that's when we are born again, when we're regenerated, that's when we hear the voice of Christ. That's when the confusion is removed. That's when all the fighting and the divisions and different opinions that people have about Christ and about his church and about salvation, that's when all those questions are answered or become worthless to us, because we see salvation. We see the light of God in his Son, and he's made precious to us. His blood is made precious to us because we see and know it's by his sacrifice, by the shedding of his blood, that my sin, which made me filthy and unclean and a stench in the nostrils of God, it's by his blood that all my filth and all my guilt and all my shame is washed away, and I'm clean before God. Thanks be to God for his Son. Thanks be to God for his grace and mercy freely provided for you who look to him, who call upon him, who trust in him. Thank God, because that's his grace working in you by the power and glory of his Spirit. That's what he gives freely to his people. He says in verse 8 there of John 3, the wind bloweth where it listeth, it goes where it wants to go, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or from where it comes and where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And so he's saying that just as the wind moves where the Lord wills it to move, so it moves upon the people of God in the appointed time of his love. And it comes upon his people and delivers them from that death and corruption and darkness that they were in, whereby they were shut up and blind to the things of God, but now they see him and know him and call upon him whom God has sent. It's not earned by our works. It's not accomplished by our own free will. It's not something that we make a decision for and then God reacts to it. Our hope is fixed in Christ by the mercy and grace of God. It's only upon whom the Lord bloweth upon them and gives them life and reveals to that heart of that guilty sinner, reveals to their heart salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's only after we are heaven born, after we are born again, that we believe Christ. That's when we look to him and call upon him and cry out for mercy and salvation in the Son. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Until the Lord gives us life, we don't even see our need. We don't even see his salvation. All we hear are religious things, and many people follow after them and are satisfied with those things, but it's only by the Spirit of God that we see the kingdom of God, that we see his salvation, that we see the Son and believe on him by the faith which he reveals in us by the power of his Spirit. Now, in addition to being the Spirit of truth that reveals these things to us in Christ, he's called we call him the Spirit of Illumination because he reveals this truth. He makes these things known to us. He's called the Spirit of Comfort, the Spirit of Adoption, and he is the seal of our inheritance. So as the Spirit of Illumination, the Lord gives the Spirit whereby we see Christ and whereby we're taught of him, whereby we know him. And he's called the Spirit of Comfort to us in that he bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He takes the things of God and reveals them to us and shows us as we hear his word preached, we're comforted to know, Lord, that's what I believe, that I'm nothing without you, and you've provided everything in the Son. He's called the Spirit of Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When we're broken and brought to see our nothingness, brought to see our need of him, we cry out, Lord, have mercy on me. Show me the Son. Wash me in his blood. Cleanse me, Lord. Renew a right spirit in me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's the Lord who works that in us, that keeps us soft and delivers us from hardness and coldness and deadness to the things of God. He keeps bringing us back to see our need of him. And he's the seal of testimony which is given to us. A down payment, the Lord says, to say, I'm coming back for you. I've not forgotten you. I've not left you. I've not abandoned you. I'm returning to pick up that which I've purchased. Ephesians 1:13-14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. We only hear the word of truth in spirit and by faith by the gift of the Spirit. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That testimony of the Spirit revealing to you that your God has done this for you. An unworthy, guilty sinner. God has done all these gracious things in Christ for you, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So he's the down payment, the earnest, that testifies to us, my Lord and Savior shall return. He's revealed himself in me. By his Spirit, he shall return. He will not leave me. I'll not lie in that grave forever. The Lord will raise up this body, and I shall see my Savior with these eyes, and testify of his mercy and grace to me, singing that song of redemption all the days of our life. Rejoice in him. Bless his name, brethren. So the Spirit dwelling in us is a gift of God whereby we know and believe the things of God. So in addition to this now, we're told another reason for the gift of the Spirit. We're told there in verse 12, we'll read the whole of it. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And so the Lord gives us the Spirit of truth to illuminate our eyes, to behold the Lord Jesus Christ, to behold what God has done for us, to know that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that he loved us in Christ before the foundation of the world and purposed to give us to the Son and covenanted with the Son before we were ever born, before we did any good or evil. He covenanted with the Son who came and fulfilled all righteousness for us in his covenant of grace. He did this for us, brethren. And so we see there, Paul prays for the Ephesians. If you turn over to Ephesians 1, and we'll pick up in verse 16. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Right? I cease not to give thanks, making mention of you of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's saying, I want you to know the things which God has freely given to us in his Son. How precious this is that he has made known to us the mystery of his grace, the mystery of his Son, the mystery of sending Christ, his Son, to take upon him flesh, to make himself a sacrifice to put away our sins. He's saying, I want you to know this, to rejoice in what God has done for you, apart from your works. All right? We labored in religion many years. We labored in religion. We labored to make ourselves righteous. We labored to try and understand these things. We labored among many people trying to know God and were frustrated and left cold and in the dark and frightened and scared and anxious about these things until God revealed to us his Son and made us to rest in him and to rejoice in him. He says, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, which is done by Christ, seeing him who is the light of his people, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That we may know what it is, because in Christ he removes the blindfold. He makes us to see that he is salvation, that God is well pleased with the Son, and he's well pleased with all in him, everyone in him. And so we're made thankful. We see how that he strengthens us in our struggles. He strengthens us when we're weak. He brings us to cry up out to him, to not go off and get confident in ourselves and be proud and arrogant in our ways. But he's always faithful to bring us back to see that apart from him, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. If it came down to my strength and my ability and my ways, I'd be lost. I'd go off. I'd go sideways and go away. But the Lord is so faithful and so gracious to turn our hearts again back to the Son, to look to him and to cry out to him. Now, verse 19, Ephesians 1:19, and to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So that even as the Lord did all these things in eternity past for us, so it is that he sent his Son, who came faithfully fulfilling all righteousness for us, and he laid down his life there on the cross to make atonement, to as our surety, to put away that which the debt that we owed to God, to put away our sin, and to reconcile us to holy God, that we might know him, have fellowship with him again, call upon him, worship him, praise his name among our brethren, give thanks unto God in the fellowship with one another, speak of what he's done for us in the Son. And so he reveals to us that Christ is everything, that he is our atonement, that he's provided it all for us. And so we see how we are effectually called by his grace and how we're kept by that same power and grace, ever keeping us ever looking to Christ. Now, because the Spirit reveals this, how that God did everything necessary for our salvation, he says even there, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So that we understand he's interceding even for us now. He's providing everything. He's interceding for us and implementing the will of his Father in the earth. And so these are the things which are freely given to us. We didn't earn them. We don't keep his blessings raining down upon us. They're freely given by the Father in the Son, in whom are all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's everything to us. Now back in our text, Paul says in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, he says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And the Spirit reveals this hope in us. And as the as Paul quoted, I believed, therefore I spoke. Right? Therefore we speak. As the Lord reveals these things to us, reveals Christ in our hearts, shows us how precious He is, how He's everything in salvation. It's not about what we do or don't do. It's not about being in the right denomination. It's not about being a member of a church. It's about what Christ, who Christ is, what He is to us, that He is our Savior. He is my hope. It's not what I believe about Christ. It's, do I believe Christ? Rest in Him, trust Him, call upon Him, need Him. And the Lord reveals what He's made to us. And that same precious Lord is the one of whom we speak and declare to others. And so we speak of these things also, which the Spirit reveals to us. And we declare what He's done. And the Spirit takes of the things of God and reveals them in the hearts of His people, whom He's calling out of darkness, out of death, giving them life in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may know Him and be joined unto Him in His body. So, brethren, I pray the Lord bless that word to your heart and comfort you in the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a few more things to say, but we'll close it right there. And I just pray that you rejoice in the Lord, because He's made everything to us. And you know these things by His Spirit, that He's revealed these things in you. So thank the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's by His grace, by the Spirit, that you know Him and call upon Him. Amen.